Good morning, brothers and sisters. Jesus speaks very clearly about the nature of his love for his people. He uses this imagery, this beautiful imagery that we all know well of the Good Shepherd. And he explains exactly what a good shepherd is. It's not just someone who cares for the flock. In particular, it's someone who lays down their life for the flock. Now, this image, as Christians, as Catholics, we grow up with, so we can take it for granted. But I want you to consider for a moment what you would consider on just a natural level what is a good shepherd. A smart and intelligent and wise and good shepherd would never die for a sheep, right? I mean, it's a sheep. Obviously, the life of the shepherd is far more valuable than the life of the sheep. He might fight for it if there's a wolf or something, but he's not going to lay down his life for it. There is no way. There's too great a disparity between the value of the shepherd and the value of the flock. Even the whole flock is not worth the life of the shepherd. So our Lord is clearly coming at this from a very different angle. We already know he has laid down his life for us. And when it comes right down to it, his life is infinitely more valuable than ours. We are mere sheep in comparison to him who is the true shepherd. He is the Son of God. Yet he proves his love and his goodness for us by laying down his life for these lowly creatures that he loves so much. And he points out to us what bad shepherds do, right? A bad shepherd certainly doesn't lay down their life for the sheep. They run away when there's any danger. They don't even fight for the sheep. They're in it just for the pay. They have no concern for the sheep whatsoever. At least usually an owner of the sheep maybe would fight for them, if not lay down his life for them. But a hired worker? No, they're not even going to battle. Nope, I might get bit. I'm not going to bother with this. This passage Jesus gives to us is not just for his sheep that you would be reminded of his great love for you, but this is actually more importantly for the shepherds, for the ones that Jesus was going to put in charge of his flock, the men that he was going to choose as popes and bishops and priests. You can imagine that Peter and the apostles and all the popes and bishops and priests throughout the centuries have meditated on this passage and realized our Lord was speaking to us. Our job through holy ordination is to be conformed to Christ, not just sacramentally, so that when we actually say the words of institution, it's really Jesus, or when we say the words of absolution, you're really forgiven. Yes, that's why we're ordained. But even in our mode of shepherding, we're supposed to imitate Christ. And we don't always do this. Oftentimes, priests and bishops, and even throughout the centuries, popes, have acted more as hired workers, in it for the pay, not imitating the Lord, not loving his sheep as he loves them. And this is a great tragedy, because if you remember the words of St. John Vianney, the patron saint of diocesan priests, he said that if a pastor, a shepherd, is a saint, his people will be holy. And if a pastor is holy, his people will be good. And if a pastor is good, his people will be mediocre. And if a pastor is mediocre, his people will be bad. And if a pastor is bad, God save his people. He was pointing out that there is a clear relationship between the pastor and the people, and the way of life, the holiness of the shepherd, helps elevate the holiness of the people. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be members of this parish that are much holier than I. I mean, hopefully that's the case. But generally, The degree of sanctity of the leader determines one step down the sanctity of the followers. And this is true in every organization or group, right? It could be in business, politics, religion. This is why we need good and holy shepherds, and so we pray for them. We ask God, give us holy priests. Give us holy bishops, holy politicians. We ask God for this. And it's important that you pray. But it's not just a one-way relationship between shepherd and sheep in regards to the human pastors that God puts over you. Yes, it's true that you are profoundly affected by the holiness of your shepherds, but Jesus teaches very clearly in the prophet Isaiah that God gives to the people the leaders they deserve. And he's not just speaking of church leaders, he is, certainly, but he's speaking every type of leader. It could be your boss at work, your governor, your president, your pastor, your bishop, the pope, doesn't matter. God gives to his people the shepherd they deserve. In fact, if they don't deserve a good shepherd, it says he takes away the good ones. He takes them away. And how do we or fail to deserve a certain type of leader? It's whether we're striving to conform our lives to the commands of God. Are we seeking after the Lord? Are we seeking to obey his commandments, to put him first in our life? If we are, then the Lord promises to send us good leaders in all areas of life. If we're not, then he'll send us bad ones to punish us. So it's a reciprocal relationship between sheep and shepherd in this regard. The great thing about Jesus is he's always the good shepherd. You don't ever have to worry about him. Even if you get a bad earthly priest or bishop, you don't have to worry. Jesus is always the good shepherd. You just have to turn back to him, and then he will fix that priest or bishop or boss at work, whoever it is. It's actually kind of a consolation for me to think about this as your pastor, because whenever I fail, whenever I make some mistake, I realize that's probably more your fault than mine. You know, I mean, if you were better, I wouldn't have done that. God would have given me the grace necessary to do the right thing. So whenever you're upset with me and you want to complain, just remember. But I, of course, am always responsible for my own faults and sins. And I'll be judged more harshly than any one of you. But please pray for me. Sacrifice. Pray for all of those who shepherd you in the name of Christ, or who lead you in any way in life. But you should never worry so much about who is leading you or who has authority over you, whether that's in your own home, with your fathers, your religious leaders, secular leaders, political leaders, economic leaders. You should never really be too concerned who they are. Because as long as you are seeking to conform your life to Christ, our Lord promises to send you holy leaders. So voting on who rules over you doesn't really matter. I'm not saying don't vote in upcoming elections and things like that, but voting doesn't really matter because God will always give us the leaders we deserve. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.